and on the truth. In Jesus' name. Just let me say a couple of words here concerning this, because, you know, we say the name of Jesus at demons, and sometimes they stay right there. And we say, some say, you've got to go. Jesus' name, get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Well, he didn't get out. And that is not standing on the truth. That is what you call trying the truth. And that's where a lot of Christians fail, is because if he doesn't move immediately, you give him 10 seconds to get out. And if he doesn't, you extend the time. And you see, you don't really stand on the truth. But if you take your position on the truth, you sit down and you spread out with your squatter's rights and take all the land you can, and you say, you're not going to get this. This belongs to God, and I am possessing it, and you're not going to have it. And then when everything looks like that he's still got it, you deny it. You still claim it. You're still in court about the matter. You don't just give up and walk away and default. So many Christians are defaulting because they make a claim. He comes up and makes a counterclaim. You just say, oh, well, okay then, and you walk away. You default. We need to stand on it until we get it. You remember the story of Jacob. You know that Jacob didn't just take 15 seconds or even a half hour. He said, I am not giving up. It was a wrestling contest. It was an all-night contest. But see, finally, he prevailed because he stuck to it and he wasn't going to give up. The devil's been bothering my wife a little bit, nighttime, and last night particularly. And he was bothering her, and she was contesting him in her mind and coming against him and coming against him. And finally, when he wouldn't leave her alone, after much coming against him and praying against it and claiming, she felt so much righteous indignation at him that she began to tell him all that he was going to have to suffer for coming against the saint of God and what his end was going to be and all of this, and he left. They hate to hear that truth. They know they're going to face it. And we have got to really, see, we'll be besieged. And we will be besieged. And we must already ahead of time make up our minds that when the enemy comes in this way, and we're in a battle, although battles are not pleasant, we will not turn our mind over to it. Neither will we just acquiesce, give up. But we take a stand on the truth, and we hold it and stand to it and stand on it and stand on it and stand on it until we receive the promise. And the devil will eventually have to leave. Because if we take a stand against it for a little while and then waver, the scripture says, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. See, God never did promise you instant healing or instant deliverance. He said you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but he never said instantly. So many Christians lose their healing because if they don't get an instant miracle, they decide he didn't heal them. Well, where did you ever get the idea that healings are all going to be instant? Jesus prayed for some lepers that were healed as they went on their way. We cannot claim instant healing or instant deliverance or none. That has robbed so many Christians from their healing and their deliverances. Because God will test us. And as Job was tested, he had to continue to hold on and hold on and hold on. You see, finally his wife, out of a compassion for her husband, saw so miserable he was in that shape, she finally said, curse God and die. You see, eventually, the matter is settled by the great judge. The devil could not keep boils on Job for 500 years. There's a limit in how God will allow, he'll allow any test upon any person, and he will not allow it to come upon you more than you're able to bear. And so, when you're under that test, you see, if you give up in a little while, the demon says, you see, Lord, I told you that when they said to get out in Jesus' name, if I decided to stay a little while, that they would lose faith. And they would become hopeless, and they would just give up and let me have it. And you see, they did. And the Lord says, that's true, we'll have to try them again. We'll try them again another time. But if you hold on and hold on, and he tries you clear to the hilt, he'll plunge that sword in clear to the hilt. That's as far as he can go with it. And finally, if you hold, the Lord says, he has maintained his integrity. He has maintained his faith. He has not wavered an iota. You have no right to stay. You have been proven wrong. Your time is up. Now withdraw. Get thee hence. We need to learn this because victory is for those who will stand fast on the word without wavering, regardless of what conditions may be. And the big lie that the devil interposes is, you see, it hasn't happened. And at the time you turn to him and say, well, you idiot, of course it hasn't happened. It never happens until it happens. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen, because faith gets its results, and I'm believing, so of course it's going to happen. That's not the question. See? But he likes to lie to people's minds. He'll put a time element. Where did you ever get a time element? Who told you the time? Did anybody ever tell you what the time was going to be? As long as you're living, you can't claim it didn't happen. And after you're living, you don't kill. We need to quit playing the watch game on God and giving him so long, or we're giving up on you. Give uppers go down. They don't get anything. We need to hold until God says the battle's over, until he says court dismissed. And if we'll hear this, a lot more of us will get delivered, get healed. We'll get to even seeking the Lord. It's the same principle. Well, I've tried it. I saw them last Wednesday night. We can do more than that, brother. Well, I've done it four Sundays before, Wednesday maybe it was. You know, we did that a couple times. Well, whoever told you that if you sought him two or three times, that he's going to come down in all of his glory and swamp you and fill you full? When they seek you with your whole heart, you should be filled. Say, well, I did. That's not your whole heart. You don't even know your whole heart. You never used it. You got to let him be judge of these matters. We're too easy. We're pop pill people. You know, we want something. You know, we get headache, pop. We want it gone. We're impatient people. But he wants us to learn patience. And this is why a lot of people are going through a lot of things is because he's trying to teach patience. And we chafe under the yoke. We kick. We don't like it. But he says you're going to stay right there and learn patience. I don't like it. I know. That's what we're keeping you right there. You're going to learn so you don't get so flustered about it. See? And so that's the way, see. We sometimes, you know, we just say, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now, you know. You know, and the Lord just has to, you know, just hold steady. Hold steady. You want everything solved now. Very few things are solved now. We're not that kind of people. The Lord's been working on us a long time. And with long patience, he waits for the fruit of the earth. And he has to wait patience, let patience do her good work, the scripture says. Let it do its good work. It's going to take a while to do that work and prove itself out. And it isn't easy to be patient under trying circumstances. When they're at the Red Sea, the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that hour when the Egyptian chariots are rushing on you from behind, you don't feel like standing still. Emotionally, you know, you're in a panic. And in that hour when we would panic, the Lord would say, stand still. Panic does not move the hand of God. It moves the hand of the devil. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Say, but Lord, look at him come. What's that got to do with it? It ain't got anything to do with anything. That would be an important consideration if God was dead. But when you're in the Lord's hands, you see, you have to exercise patience and say, what would normally happen has got nothing to do with what supernaturally will happen. If I belong to God, I'm in His hand, and I'm going to trust Him all the way. And now the devil will contest you on this. You know, it's fun to get up in front of people and say, I am going to... The devil says, see that guy? Tag him. Tag that guy right there. Nail him. Next thing you know, he doesn't testify for 5 weeks. And when he does, it's, I've been going through it. What happened? He stood up and boldly and proudly proclaimed he was going to stand in patience and he was never going to doubt God again. And so, the test was on. You say, oh, well, thanks for the tip. I'll never do that. Well, if you never do that, then you will never even get a test. You can keep your test away from all your kids. Dear teachers, give Johnny no tests. He doesn't like tests. But if you get no tests, you won't learn. You won't even know how you're doing, and you won't learn from it. And you get your choice of either staying weak and not getting any place, in which case you'll still get you, or to stand out in the name of the Lord and then take the storms and the tests of the thing and hold on to it. It helps to know you're in a test. You do better. You're slopping along. Somebody says, you know, we're grading you. Oh, you know. See? As soon as you find out, we need to know God's grading. This is a test. This is a real test. Every time you go through something, the devil's had to come and get permission. He can't just come in and do whatever he wants in you. Well, we'd all be gone. But he's got a permission from God. Now that makes a difference. Oh, well, if God has allowed it, but then that must mean that I have a way out because he loves me. Then I'm not just automatically doomed. That's right. Well, then I can make it if I believe him. That's it. Yeah, see? That's it. If you believe him, if you'll trust him, everything in the Bible is based on faith. He never said, live good enough. But he said, believe me. Believe me for salvation. Believe me for healing. Believe me for the Holy Ghost. Believe me for heaven. Believe me. Even the rapture, he's coming for those that are waiting and watching. For those who believe. Those who are watching. We need to begin to believe God. And when these trials come, say, oh, I know what must be happening. The devil must be fighting the Lord again, using me. Well, Lord, I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm not going to go under this. I'm going to make you proud of me. Now, Lord, I steel myself and I set myself and I stop to think. I got horrible things facing me. What must I do under the circumstances? What kind of a spirit must I have? How must I be in tune with you? What must I say when these feelings and spirit comes? How must I identify them and decide? And then what will happen if I do this? And what will happen if I do that? See, God didn't want us to throw our brains away. In an hour like this is the time you really need Him to think. Think. Go back and take, let the memory cells bring back the preaching that you've been given and the word of the Lord. Go back and think what God has done and what you have said and realize what is happening. And then in that hour, say, I'm not going to lose my salvation over this. I'm not going to allow myself to go under because I am just become unglued. Brother, keep the glue together. Don't just let yourself go. Floppity flop. When this thing hits you hard, get a hold of yourself. Stand in the wood and claim it. And when you're in a pit that's so deep that you can't see out the top, and there's no way, and you've gone through every single way, you've thought everything, you see there's no way out of this. You know what to do? Trust God for a byway. For when there's no way, He will make a way. And you don't have to see it or understand how. When you get to a place that feels completely hopeless, you don't give up. You turn to God and say, Lord, I've got one for you. Because Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. And here's a Lulu. There's no way out. Now try to get out of this one. See? There's no way. Now try to get out. You'll find the Lord always knows the way out. When I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team, and I also was on the YMCA wrestling team. They wrestled YMCAs and colleges. And they had a couple fellas down there that had been in Olympic tryouts, and they were all older, mature men, you know, around 35 years old, and real top-notch people. And this one fella, he weighed a lot more than me. He was a lot more experienced, and I was young, and he'd been in Olympic trials and so forth. And he would say, all right, you get me. He let me get him any hold I wanted. And once you get him locked in some of these tremendous holds, boy, it's really hard to get out. And he'd just kind of squeal with delight and say, he loved it. And I'd get him in these holes, and I'd get him ones that, you know, would practically break anybody else's neck. And put all the power and get him. He said, you got me? He said, yeah. And he said, all right, there was no way for him to get out. And then here he'd come, see. And he'd get out every time, see. And that's the way it is with the Lord. The devil cannot get him in any hole that he can't get out. There is nothing that can happen to you but the Lord can't break. He's got the experience. And so don't you greenhorns that are still wet behind the ears try to tell him there's no way. You don't know what he knows. Oh, he's marvelous. He's past finding out. And if you'll just trust him and hold to him and not deny him or the faith, you will come through victorious. Deep waters, but you'll come through. But you'll come through.